session number 24438, reel 2.
All fresh, more or less. Paymaster Commander, he was in charge of all the food. Where he could go ashore and take the working party ashore, he'd go ashore shopping and he'd get all fresh stuff. We had practically all fresh stuff, apart from tin fruit and all that. Sometimes we might have fresh apples and that, whatever he could get, wherever we was. But we had a lot of fresh food on board.
And who would bring the food aboard?
His working party would bring it aboard on the boat, what they took out. I mean, when we was up in Newfoundland, he went ashore at Newfoundland and he got a lot of fresh stuff. We had big, all fresh meat we had. I mean, we had big refrigerators on board the ship where they keep all the meat and everything like that.
What about storing other food? Where was that stored? The fresh vegetables and...
Well, that was stored in another place on the ship. Oh, yeah, we had potatoes, yeah. We had all fresh stuff.
Can you describe the galley and where all the food was stored in relation to the galley?
Well, the food was stored down below.
How far below?
Well, not far down below. And then on the upper deck, we had a big cage where we kept all our fresh fruit, like potatoes and all that, in this big cage on board the ship, you know.
You mentioned the meat was kept in refrigerators. Were there butchers on board who dealt with that?
Oh, we had a butcher on board. He was a Marine. He had a butcher. He had a place where he used to cut all the meat up and everything. What they called the beef screen. In a place, you know, on upper deck, on the upper deck, next to the galley. But that was his place. He'd done all the carving and all that of the meat. He was the butcher.
Did you have specialist bakers on board as well, or did everybody in the galley have to take part in the baking?
Special what?
Bakers.
Bacon?
Bakers. To make bread. Bakers.
Oh, the baker? Yeah, that was up on the upper deck further up. Not near the galley. No, it was up there.
Sorry, could you just move your foot? Your foot is against the table. And it's
oh, sorry. Yeah, that was up further. And all the chefs went in to trade at bakery. Yeah. They had to go up the bakery and train, you know, learn how to mould the bread and all that.
So you'd all do the baking? Or yeah. Would there be a specialist baker?
Yeah, we'd all take turns, yeah.
And how often would you bake?
Huh?
How often would you bake bread?
Every day. Fresh bread every day. Fresh bread and rolls every day.
And how did you know how much food you could use for each meal? Were there guidelines or rations?
Well, you know roughly, you know. You know how many loaves to make, roughly, you know. And, the chief would tell you. Chief baker, like, you know, he would tell you.
James Gifford, Reel 2. Were there any guidelines as to how much meat you could serve out at a meal? Was there any rationing as such?
No, you just work it out so much a man. You know, if there was 16 in the mess, you work it out that you had 16 portions in that, you know.
But were you aware of any cost constraints? You know, you can only spend such and such a day on food.
Oh, no, nothing like that. No, no cost or anything, no.
So how did the food aboard compare with civilian rations?
And we compared with on board?
With the civilian rations?
Oh, you couldn't compare it during the war, could you? I mean, they never got anything, did they, hardly? They had those all on ration, wouldn't they? During the war, they had only had so much meat. I mean, we had whatever we wanted. I'll show you a Christmas menu. Would you like to see?
Yeah, if you want to go and use it. Yeah.
You want to see it now?
Yes, of course. You've got the ship's menu there. Can you, for, when was it for?
We don't, Christmas menu, 1944.
Do you want to read that?
The breakfast, cornflakes and milk, ham and eggs. Dinner, cream of tomato soup, roast turkey, sausage meat, stuffing, roast potatoes, cabbage, asparagus. I can't pronounce that one.
Asparagus,
yeah, cuts. And Christmas pudding, vanilla sauce. Tea time was Christmas cake, butter and tin fruit. Supper was cream of rice soup, cold roast pork, pickles and coffee.
Did you have, obviously that was Christmas menu, a special occasion. Did you have other special menus for different days or different holidays or Sundays?
No, we had roast of a Sunday, you know. And
did you have a special breakfast on a Sunday as well?
No, you know, bacon and eggs, whatever, you know, whatever we had. And, you know, and they live well in there. They live very well in there.
So what would be a typical day's menu on an ordinary day?
Well, on an ordinary day, it could be roast dinner. Sometimes it might be cottage pie, or what's known pie, anything like that. You know, we different menus, different days. You know.
What would you have for breakfast normally?
Oh, might have boiled eggs one day. You know, and then bacon and eggs. You know, it's very. The chief cook used to make the menu out. We never. The chief cook made the menu out, and we followed that.
Was the chief cook a petty officer or a chief petty officer?
No, the chief cook. Chief petty officer he was, yeah. Chief cook.
And would the biggest meal of the day be served at lunchtime? Or in the evening?
No, that would be the dinner would be during the day, and then you had the supper, and you had a cold supper once a week. That was on a Wednesday, I think it was. We had a cold supper. That's just to give us a rest, you know.
Did you work a watch system?
Yeah.
Can you explain how that worked?
4 hours, well, you know, 4 hours on, 4 hours off, sort of thing like that.
Did that operate when you were at sea as well as in port?
No, when we were at sea, yeah. Works the same time when we were at sea or that, you know. Well, mostly at sea, you know.
You mentioned that you had an action station, which was
supplying
for inch shells to
guns. Well, they called it the 4-inch supply. The 4-inch guns, 4-inch supply.
But you also said that there were times when you had to supply cocoa to everybody.
Yeah, we had to go, a couple of us had to go down in the galley and make cocoa for the men on the guns and all that, give them round there.
When the ship was at action stations for a long time, how was the crew fed? How did they get food?
Well, we used to make sandwiches and all that, soup, take up soup and all that, you know. They used to get on all right.
So that would be taken to their action station,
Yeah.
And how often would they get food in those circumstances?
Oh, as long as we were on action stations.
I mean, at what intervals? Every few hours, or
how? I can't remember now. It's so often, you know. Can't I can't remember how many times, you know, we've done it.
Did you have a special uniform as a ship's chef?
Yeah. Yeah, we had what they call a square rig, which was a peak cap and double-breasted suit, you know.
Was there any other identifying marks?
Yeah, we had a gold star with C in the middle of it to say that he was a chef. But I think nowadays, I think they're done up as sailors, the chefs nowadays, I think. They altered it, I think. But people who had them was the chef's cooks, officers' cooks, writers. We had writers on board. They had it, and miscellaneous people, you know, the stores people, they had it.
Can you describe the chain of command amongst the ship's chefs? So, you were chef, who did you take your orders from?
Well, we had a leading hand. He used to take the orders from the leading hand, you know, but the trouble, we all worked together, so there was anything, you know, I'm the governor sort of thing. We all worked together, but he was the leading hand. And then we had a PO, he was over the leading hand. And then we had a chief cook, he was the governor of the galley, chief cook.
And that was for each watch, had?
Well, more or less, yeah. Yeah.
And who did the chief cook take orders from?
Oh, well, if he had to take orders, he would take orders from the paymaster command. He was the paymaster commander. He was in charge of all that sort of thing.
Was there any... were you a sort of breed apart from the rest of the ship's company as a chef? Did you keep yourselves to yourselves, or did you mix?
Oh no, we all mixed together. We all went ashore, you know, different. We all went ashore with different people, sailors and all that. Oh no, we were so friendly. It was a friendly ship.
Was there any special language or slang that was used in the galley?
Not really. I mean, you know, if you told a little, you know, like we tell a little story sort of thing, you know, or you say, oh, so-and-so's coming up today and it ain't true, you know, it's what's called a buzz. You're sending a buzz round, you know, making a, you know, and all that. Which we did have once. We heard that we was going back to the UK. And everybody was happy we were going back. But it wasn't true. It was called a buzz. And Louis Mountbatten, he came aboard of our ship and he cleared the lower deck, which I've got a photo there of us all on the upper deck. And he took the stand and he told us that we will not go back. He said, you realise there's a war on? He said, and when you go back, I'll be telling you, no one else. And that was that, yeah, that was what they called a buzz, went round. No, we didn't have no slangs, but, you know.
Any nicknames for ship chefs or anything like that?
Any what?
Nicknames. Did you call any nicknames? Were you named by
them? No, not really, no. We, as I say, we had this chap, Lofty Taylor. He was a... Geordie he was, and he was all full of fun, you know. I'll tell you a story about him. We was on the upper deck, about three or four of us, and we was washing prunes in a big dish, big container. And we was putting them in this dish, ready to go through into the steam chest. And there was a chef inside taking them and putting them in the steam chest. And all of a sudden the sailors came along washing the upper deck. So we took our shoes off and that, you know, because we were sitting there. And this lofty tailor was full of jokes. He'd play jokes on anybody. So he took his boots off and he said to me, because they used to call me Jim in the Navy, he said to me, "Hey, oh, Jim, put a handful of sugar in." So I put a handful of sugar in, and I said to the chef who was taking them to put in the steam chest, I said, "Hey, I'll put these in the steam chest as a joke, right?" And he put them in the steam chest. Of course, when we'd finished all this and we come out, he wanted his shoes. I said, "I don't know where they are." Anyway, finished like they was in the steam chest. He brought them out and they was all sewed up. So the chief cook sent me down to the paymaster command's cabin. He wanted to see me. And I went down there and we got on well together, the paymaster commander, because I'd done his cabin up for him, being a decorator, right? You know, he knew, like, in my papers. And he said to me, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Are you trying to work your ticket?" He said, "Or are you just a guy, like, you know?" So I said, "Well," I said, "and, you know," I said, "he's fond of jokes," I said, "but somebody plays a joke on him, he don't like it." I said, "No, it's just a scar, like, you know." Oh, he said, "Oh," he said, "well," he said, "go and see the chief cook." So I went back up to the galley and saw the chief cook. Well, I was supposed to be going ashore at 12 o'clock. Of course, I finished my time, you know. Well, instead of that, the chief cook made me wash the steam chest out. So I couldn't go ashore till 4 o'clock. And that's on my papers, my discharge papers, inclined to Skylark.
Any other examples of that tendency?
No, that's all. We had a joke about it, all of us.
You mentioned a steam chest. Any other pieces of equipment that you remember from that time?
What was that?
You mentioned you had a steam chest.
Oh, steam chest, yeah. Yeah, we had a big steam chest. We used to steam it like puddings or anything, rice, you know, and all that in there.
Can you describe it?
And we had big, it was just a big steam chest with big doors on there, you know, steel doors and all that. And then we had the range, what we done all the roast in the oven and cooking. We had big square frying dishes, you know, big, filled up when we used to do chips. All that, and eggs. We had big dishes where we fried the eggs, you know, in different compartments. And then we had a steam pipe. What we used to do the steam with the whatever we was making, cocoa or soup, you know. It's all used to be clean out and all that, you know. Yeah, we had plenty of stuff there. Yeah.
You spend your spare time?
Well, we used to play cards. Not for money. Mustn't do that. Not on board the ship, no. That was gambling, no. And I don't say some of them did do it, but and then we used to have a game of what would you used to go? Like bingo it was, but we called it, forget the name we called it, but it was like bingo, you know. We used to have a game of that, you know. And
Tombola,
that's it, yeah. And we used to game that on the lower deck, like, you know, down below. And we used to, well, write letters, you know, home and that, you know. When we was at sea and that, you know, and we all had lockers, all had a locker each, you know, with locks on it. And yes, we all got on well together.
Any other
I had to come off a ship when we was at Trincomalee up in the Pacific there. I had a touch of malaria, an infection of the ear. That was because we used to swim off the side of the ship, like, you know, when we was a lad, when we was anchored out, to swim on the side of the ship, you know. And I got infection of the ear, and then I had to go on a hospital ship. So all my stuff was packed away and that. And then when I come off the ship, I went to Colombo. We took a college over, and that was a naval place. And I had to go over there. Why? I was waiting for my ship, because it was out on patrol, doing the Denmark Strait, you know, doing the, what's the name? And in the meantime, I got drafted to an army camp to cook for the army in a jungle somewhere, I forget where it was now. And I cooked for so many soldiers there while I was waiting for my ship to come in. And every now and again I used to ask the officer if he could get me a lift into town to see if my ship was in, you know. And anyway, eventually it did come in, and then I got back to the ship.
Was there any entertainment on board?
Only what we made ourselves.
What sort of entertainment did you do?
Well, we used to have a variety show. The skipper, the last skipper we had, Captain Gilmore, I think he was, he used to do an act, and he used to do the with his Panama hat on and his walking stick, and he used to do Lily of the Goomer. He's my lady, you know. And he was great. He used to do that. And we had a few of them there, a couple of chaps singing and that. Yeah, we used to make our own entertainment. As I say, we used to take, like, the PTI got boxing and different games up, you know, we could play. And we entertained ourselves, you know, quite a bit, you know. I mean, the only time we never done anything and all that is when we was after the Bismarck. I mean, that was it. I mean, otherwise we were doing the Denmark Strait patrols, you know, and doing Russian convoys to taking airplane parts out to Russia, convoying them out to Russia, you know.
Any professional entertainers ever perform for you?
No, when we came to London, well, after we came back from Burma and that, we came to King George V. We came back from the Russian convoys and the Bismarck battle. And we came back to the London dock in London. And, of course, we had a paint up to go out to the Pacific. And in the meantime, George Forby came aboard and his wife. And entertain us here. That's the only time we had a professional person come aboard.
And what was that like? What were your memories of that?
Oh, that was good, that was. He was good, yeah. Yeah. Yes, we enjoyed ourselves. I made friends with my friend there, Eaton, Roy Eaton. He died at couple of months ago now, and we've been friends ever since. I mean, 50 odd years we were friends. We used to go, me and the wife before she died, we used to go on holiday with them and all that, you know, and we were friends ever since. Yeah, great friend we was. We was just like brothers.
What was discipline like aboard HMS Suffolk?
What was it like?
Discipline, yeah. Did you ever get into trouble, or...?
No, we never got in any trouble. No, we just, you know, I mean, you had to do what you was told. And you know, we done everything. No, I don't think we ever had any trouble, no. I mean, the officers was great. I mean, we when we were in Durban, we went ashore in Durban, about three of us, my mate and another couple, and this officer, he was going with this young lady from Durban, and we was walking on this side and he was walking on the other side, and of course, naturally enough, we saluted him, right? And of course he pulled his arm away and he saluted his back. You know, the next day he came in the galley and he said to us, you know, about saluting him. So we said, well, yeah, you know. He said, well, don't. He said, when I'm with my young lady, he said, you know, you don't have to salute me. We only done it for the devil because he had his arm, you know, through hers and he had to put it away. But that's how it was, you know, it was good. Was that, well, I think it was a happy ship. Yeah.
Well, what made it a happy ship? Was it just the...
The men themselves. The skipper was just like our last skipper. I mean, the first skipper we had, he was a young skipper. They say he was a relation to Louis Mountbatten.
What was his name?
Ellis. And, anyway, and being the youngest skipper, we got all the different jobs, you know, what other ships never got. But anyway, and then we had another skipper, the last skipper we had, I think that was Captain Gilmore, he was like a father to us all, just like a father. I mean, you know, we all got on well together. There was a program on there, This Is Your Life. I don't know whether you watch that or not. And I was watching it, and there was a chap on there. I forget who he was now, but anyway, and then he started talking about his father. And his father was our commander on board the ship. And when he's mentioned his name, I thought, that's our commander. And of course, they showed you, I thought, yeah, it is him. They showed you a photo. Yeah. And that was our commander.
Did you take your rum ration?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, that was it. Directly you had your rum ration, right? Your arguments come up then, because they had the rum in, you know, and they had a little argument, but that's all, you know, but that's when it, you know, they get their rum down. Some of them never took it, some of them got their money, 3 pence I think you got, if you didn't take it, but well, I had me rum, yeah, I liked it. Yeah, they stopped it now though, but that's when we was out in Japan, and we was out at sea, and the skipper, he piped that we get and it spliced the main brace. That means that we got extra rum, and we couldn't make out why. We tried to figure it out. Was it the Queen's birthday? Was it the King's birthday? Or whatever, you know, we could work it out, and eventually he came over to say that the war with Germany was over, and we were still fighting the Japs. That's how we knew it was over. Yeah.
Sunday Divisions, do you remember Sunday Divisions?
So what?
Sunday Divisions.
Sunday? Oh yeah, if we was what I call like tied up in a dock somewhere, you know, the Catholic, anybody who's Catholic aboard the ship, they went ashore to a Catholic church. But the Church of England, we had it on board. And some of us used to be Catholics for that day, so we could go ashore and have a drink. And we used to come back aboard the ship, like, you know.
Was alcohol a problem ever on board?
No, we never had none of that. But the only time we had that, no, we never had it. Only the officers had it, and they invited us. One officer invited me and my mate into the wardroom for a drink. And we had a drink with him. That was one Christmas time on board. I mean, we had a Christmas time, I've got a photo there somewhere. We had a photo of some of the chaps dressed up for Christmas, right, you know. We enjoyed ourselves. We sure have bad times, but you don't talk about the bad times, we talk about the good times.
You mentioned that you wrote letters.
Mm.
Was that the only way you could keep in contact with your family?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, we could, and they were censored before they left.